Do you ever pine for your lost youth? Of course you do. You're a fucking man. You were a man before you were a husband or a dad. Your world has changed for the better, and you fucking love it. But in those certain moments of nostalgia or desperation, where does your mind go? Do you have a fantasy world into which you can escape? Or do you revisit your younger days and wonder what could have been? Would your younger self recognize who you've become? Would he even like you? Good evening and welcome to Sad Pod, where we might be sads, but at least we aren't sad bastards. I'm your host, Dan Scott, and the sads and former sads joining me on tonight's show are Trevor Mulligan.
Hello.
Nicholas Fajel.
Hey, hey.
And last and most certainly least, Christopher Burkhart.
Hola.
If you want to know more, especially what these sexy beasts look like, get along to our website and check out the cast page for cast photos, bios, and contact info. For our longtime listener out there, you will recall that in the episode FML, we discussed the series of fortunate or unfortunate events that led to our becoming sads. We waxed poetic about those precious moments of parenthood that give us pause to think, often aloud, fuck my life. In this episode, I want to explore our alternate lives, the places we go in our heads when we think of what we would have done differently. I call these Mitty moments, after Walter Mitty, the titular protagonist whose fantasy life was much preferable to his real one. So gentlemen, think back to your younger days. Who were you? Who did you want to be? What did you want to do with your life? Let's start with you, Nick. What were you like when you were younger before you became sad?
Well, a lot of the stuff I liked to do was I would just run into the woods no matter where I was, what I was doing. Climbed whatever I could climb. Some high points and into creeks and things like that. But that's one of the main things I loved to do when I was younger. Do those types of escapes anytime I needed to get away. And since I was living up in the north, I had a lot of more areas to do that in than where I am now.
And where are you now?
Flat fucking Florida.
Yes, the triple F. Fucking Florida.
But I guess as far as what I wanted to be, it kind of fluctuated between a helicopter pilot, a doctor, and an actor.
So how'd that work out for you?
I went into IT and ended up, before I became a sad, being an IT director of a college. And so I guess it's completely different.
How about you, Trevor? What were you doing before you became a sad or even a husband?
I worked in advertising. I worked in advertising for, 20 some odd years, in a variety of different positions. It was something artistic, and I think as a kid, I knew I was going to be doing something like that. So I think that was in line with whatever my hopes would be. But I think that... I don't think that's what I was hoping for per se, but that's, it was still part of the creative field, and that was what was important to me. I, much like Nick, when I was a kid, like preteens, my backyard was a forest, so I literally would be in the backyard. We had a creek that went through. We'd be building dams. We'd be playing out in the back forest, right? At the time, you'd have the one cock Daisy BB gun, and I could call my buddy that lived across the creek, like, okay, it's wartime, and we'd meet each other in the forest, and we're hunting each other. And as I got to high school, it was I've always been a kid at heart, and I think that's probably, at a young age, I knew I was going to be a stay-at-home dad, and apparently I told my mother that. I'm a big kid at heart. I enjoy playing, and so I enjoy the social environments like that. So I had gotten into theater, and theater really, was fantastic for me, because the synergy in that kind of environment is it really gets me going, and obviously I have the energy for that, and then theater being able to project your voice and speak, I could do that just naturally. I was like, I'm like natural theater, but I don't think I was ever really good at it. So I'd help build sets and everything else, and if I could change things, I'd probably do more acting and maybe take classes to try to be a little bit better at it. I don't think I'm good at it now. So, yeah, I pretty much followed the track, though, of being a being creative.
You know, I wouldn't put yourself down and call yourself a bad actor if I were you. I mean, you've kept your wife fooled all these years. So you have to have some natural talent there that's made itself manifest.
What am I hiding from her?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You're that good of an actor.
Oh, good.
Only you know. Yeah, only you know. Only you know. Yeah. Christopher Burkhart. So when you were younger, what was that one thing you wanted to do with your life before wife and kids and the sad situation came upon you?
Actually, I wanted to actually get into law enforcement. And when I was actually I was a radio producer, while I was going to school, decided to move up to Minnesota, for their law enforcement program, and mostly because of her. And instead of going through the law enforcement program, things kind of changed on a certain Halloween that kind of changed my perspective from school to more the home aspect. But now that the girls are starting to get a little older, I'm starting my way back into school, especially as I've actually been told by my former instructors that I need to sign up.
Hmm. Excellent. So it sounds like you have a plan that you've put back into action to go back to school. Now, when I was younger, as a kid, I always wanted to be an archaeologist or a teacher. And well into my 20s, I still wanted to be a teacher. And the way I was going to make that happen is, since we didn't have money to go to college when I was a kid, I joined the Navy. And I was going to use the money from the Navy and the GI Bill and the Hazelwood Act here in Texas to go to school to become a teacher and then into the career, kind of a three-step plan. Of course, that didn't really work, right? It went off the rails when I married my first wife, and it's never really been – yes, when I married my first wife, yes. And it's never really been back on the rails, but at times I've gotten near the tracks. You know, it's kind of headed in this overall direction that I wanted to. And I actually did become a teacher 20 years later. But then, of course, my son came along and situations made it to where I had to be a stay-at-home dad and ended up having to give that up. So you can imagine that I have a lot of these midi moments, you know, because I was finally doing what I wanted to do all along. And then Liam threw a wrench in the works. Not that I'm complaining, little guy. But it did throw the wooden shoe into the clockwork there. So, let's see. Nicholas Figel, okay, what was your plan to do what you wanted to do? That one thing that you wanted to be?
Well, I looked at being a helicopter pilot, and the easiest way to do that would be join the military, but that's one of the things I didn't really want to do, so I kind of put that on a back burner. As far as a movie star and or actor and doctor realms, because I kind of, you know, I couldn't really pick one. So I just kind of looked at all of the sciences and tried to concentrate on, you know, your biology and things like that to try to get as good as I could with those, aspects of school. And, I tried to do as many extracurricular activities as I could for, you know, say acting or being in some kind of program with and anything outside of that too. So
I'm sensing a common thread tonight. We have two people that wanted to be actors. Trevor, fools his wife all the time, so he did end up becoming an actor. And
that's right.
And Nick, you actually have the ability to kill two of those dream birds with one stone and be an actor playing doctor every now and then.
Oh yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, and that's how we became SADS, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Now, Chris, you said you wanted to go into law enforcement. What was your driving desire there? Are you just like a natural narc, or you have this overdeveloped sense of justice? What's going on there, Matt?
No, in my school, we did the little tests, and every single time it was also always in investigative jobs. And, of course, my whole fascination with the law enforcement field, being a explorer when I was younger for San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office, as well as kind of just the neighborhood I grew up wasn't the best. So that's kind of been kind of the driving force, is mostly just kind of how I grew up. I've kind of always liked the whole law enforcement. I almost got in as an MP, but because I got sick during basic training and discharged, that essentially killed any chance of military police. And even when I went to try to get back in, I was told flat out that because I had been discharged medically, it would be a 1 in a million chance to get back into that MOS. So right. I decided to take med. It's kind of my other alternate life. Mm-hmm. And of course, that was when my daughter was born and ended up not quite ended up getting my command. And because I became non-deployable, I got discharged for extenuating family circumstances, aka my wife went nuts.
Oh, wow.
And she's trying to actually get into the service now. So does her going nuts?
No, because say she went nuts, essentially as postpartum depression. And her support structure at the time was a high school friend that basically kept telling her that she wasn't good enough to be a military wife. Though we look back and kind of laugh because this is the same gal who was divorced by her husband for cheating on him while he was deployed. And then goes back to the then goes moves in and marries the guy who she cheated on with that is like 25 years older.
That's quite a spread. It's like,
yeah, it's always interesting looking at pictures of the two of them, and we're like, seriously, it looks like daddy and daughter.
All right, that is a topic for another night, definitely. yeah, I'm not really sure where to go with that.
If I could change something that I've done in the past to make it different, I would have. I had an opportunity to work in virtual reality at one point, and I passed it up, and I'm not really sure why, but I think that I made a mistake by doing that. I think it would have been amazing because I love working with photography and images and video, and it would be like a combination, and I'd be able to create my own little world, whatever I wanted then. I think that would have been amazing. So yeah. That's one misstep that I took, like, not misstep. I don't regret not doing it, but it's one of those things that is like, what if, like the show is about, right?
Yeah. It's all about what if. So Nick,
I was going to say something real quick.
Okay.
As far as, you know, things that we wanted to do where, how we plan to do it. But did anybody have a lot of negativity, meaning people discouraging these activities or things that you wanted to be? I mean, for me, as far as being a doctor, I had a lot of people discouraging it, even doctors telling me not to do it, which I nowadays I can say, wow, thank goodness they did that, because it's bad, especially with all these insurance companies just crapping on doctors and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it would have been terrible. But yeah, I mean, I just wondered if anybody else had things like that.
I did, just because of the area where I grew up, where cops were considered the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
But of course, when you're living in the neighborhood and you dress in a police explorer uniform, you're not well liked anyway. So,
natural narc, I knew it.
Hey, it's quite interesting when I watch these TV shows about how they try to test drunks, and I'm literally sitting there. My wife will not let me watch shows that have any medical procedures, such as them trying to shock asystole or the flat line.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has actually told me to shut up. But hey, if I can't do it, I can at least criticize criticize Hollywood for at least not opening a book.
You know, that's the same argument I use with my wife whenever she won't let me watch porn. So if I can't do it, at least I can critique others. All right. Nick, do you have any like sort of,
no, Nick asked a question. I did. Oh, not. I'm sorry. I was fortunate enough. I didn't have anybody tell me I couldn't do whatever it is I wanted to do. And I was fortunate enough. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money or anything like that, but my mother I recall my mother telling all three, I'm the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably why, you know, the attention that drew me to wanting to do the theater and all that. But she told each one of us, you can go out and do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting anybody else. If you want to be a garbage truck driver, go do that. If you want to be a beach bum, just go be the best beach bum you can be. So that is fantastic support in one aspect, but also not as great because it doesn't help you kind of point in a direction sometimes. So right. At one point I was all over the place, and, you know, so I mean, it's a double-edged sword, but the more so on the grateful side, because that is, that's a rarity, and it's important to have that kind of support in your life.
Yeah. In regards to Nick's question, I didn't have anyone discouraging me from following my dreams. I just didn't really have anybody encouraging me to follow those dreams and helping me plan it out. My dad,
yeah.
You know, rest his soul, he just kind of had the attitude that, you know, you'll figure it out, Danny, it'll be all right. You'll figure it out. Well, he was fucking wrong, because I still haven't done it, and I'm going to be 42 here in May. So take that for what it's worth. Ladies and gentlemen out there in zero listener land, not all of us we are all fantastic dads here, but not all of us had a fantastic growing up. Again, that's a topic for another day, specifically in June when I do another show. Nick, do you have any like ongoing, recurring, like fantastic place you escape to in your mind when being a dad is just a bit much, or is it more momentarily like, oh, right now I could be doing X and then later you could be doing Y?
Well, I guess you could say both of those things have happened. For example, if I'm going away in my mind, it's kind of, you know, you could envision a, you know, a national park somewhere where there's lots of mountains, streams, greenery, waterfalls. I love waterfalls. That's one of those things that I just enjoy being around. So I'd say something like that, you know, out in the woods, somewhere in the mountains and waterfalls, just relaxing, nobody really else around for sure. But you know, getting away as far as thing, if I didn't have to watch these kids. Yeah. I mean, that happens all the time. Oh, that's falling apart. I don't know when I'll get to that. You know, I have a piece of plastic in my shower 'cause my tile's starting to fall down. It's been like that for 6 months.
I have a wooden door that I was staining. It's a French door. I was staining when I got the phone call about my dad saying that I needed to head up to Wichita Falls, which is about two and a half hours from here. And it's been a month.
The door. It looked great.
Yeah. Well, you saw the side that I had finished.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It still needs another coat on that side. And then one of the two doors is completely bare on the inside. Of that. And it's been a month and I still haven't gotten around to doing it. Part, you know, being in the mourning process of losing my father, and part because I've got that kid that, wants so much of my time and needs so much of my time. So I don't know. It may be like that until we sell the house. So where was I going? Chris, where do you go whenever dad is being too much?
Usually kind of just in my own world, that in my mind, for lack of better words, that's kind of been there since I escaped a violent relationship. Which of course today was not fun because I had a slight flashback. Yes, I have PTSD because of it, but for lack of better words, usually it's just kind of, if I can, I usually find a spot in the house, turn on some classical music or like easy listening, and just basically imagine myself in Santa Barbara, because that's like the best memory I have, is both Santa Barbara, California, and then Lake Arrowhead as well, where my family would always go every single spring and summer.
So you escape more into a memory, like a happy memory, versus like a world constructed of your own?
Yeah.
All right. Respectable. I can't say that many of my memories were great to go back to. They weren't all bad, don't get me wrong, but I certainly couldn't go back. Now, personally speaking, in my life now, it's not that often that I feel like I need to get away. And when it is, it's like Nick was saying, it's more of a getting away from the environment, not necessarily the circumstances of your life. You know, just take a break from the environment.
Especially when you have
right
three kids, you know, who decide to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, all you want to do, and of course, when they go to Nana's house, they decide to sleep in.
Right. Well, that's par for the course, man. I think that's like on the first fucking page of you're good. So you're going to be a dad. Well, your life is done. And a lot of times it's done.
The joke I have with my wife, because I personally experienced it, because my daughter was born just shortly before I left for basic training, is you get more sleep in basic training than you do as a parent. Or at least it feels like it's more, probably because you're more work, but still, I slept so much better in the barracks.
Yeah, once I got accustomed to being in the barracks there in basic, I slept a lot better than I did in a while, too. Now I sleep like a log, so nothing bothers me. Sorry for the pregnant pause there, everybody. I just lost my train of thought.
Welcome to fatherhood.
It went right off the rails, just like everything else.
Well, that's like the show yesterday. It was supposed to be about tech, and there's like five different topics.
Yes. Well, let's try to stay in this one at least for half an hour. that way we can maybe get something salvageable out of it. You know, I talk a lot about, you know, the daydreaming and the going off somewhere. With me personally, it's, you know, kind of an in the moment thing, like, oh, I could be doing this or could have been doing that. Very rarely now do I think that I would want to completely change my life and be single again, even though, man, I was the excellent, most excellent, greatest, huge swordsman. All right. When I was single.
What kind of sword?
The fleshy one. So, yeah. and it didn't really, right. It didn't really, matter which scabbard I was sheathing myself in. My sword. you know, it was like Excalibur. I was trying to find the right fit.
Nice way to work that in there.
Yes. especially now, I don't feel like that. But man, during the 4.5 years I was married to my first wife, it was like an everyday thing. And I think that's why I identify so much with Walter Mitty, is, you know, that you had that nagging, just toxic person in your life, and you spend a lot of time in your head wishing you were somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I can happily say that now, it's just like momentary flashes that I would like to be somewhere else or doing something else, or, you know, man, I would love to be on my motorcycle flying down a country road right now. The weather's nice, but no, here I am, you know, wiping kid's ass and, you know, trying to keep the dogs from fighting him and fighting each other. And about ready to give up on that project.
Hearing some of the things that you never thought you'd hear as parents, like, don't eat the cat's feces. I have not had that. Thank God.
We've actually had that, but with the dog. Liam went outside and one of the dogs had shat on the patio, and Liam ran right over to it and picked it up and smiled real Snickers big and started bar. To carry. Yeah, I was going to carry it inside, and it was, you know, the slow motion. No, as he's walking back into the kitchen with a giant dog turd in his hand.
And they feel so proud, and it's like,
I picked this up.
Yeah, Dad, look what I found. Yeah,
dog dropped it.
Let's just put no, that I, back. I will say where it
that
came
I have lately. My daughter's decided to get into the mommy and daddy locked drawer because daddy forgot to lock it. Of course, it's quite interesting when your daughter's running at you screaming, scared, holding a toy that is not meant for them.
Well, how old are your kids?
6, 4, and 2.
And you have to have a locked drawer already?
We have a 2-year-old that wants to, that actually get our well, before we had everything up on the high shelf, basically out of even my wife's reach. And she somehow managed to stack enough bins and things like that to get up on there, because there's this chest up on top of in their closet. I want to see what's inside.
Right.
What's in the box?
Well, like, since even up there, and she somehow got to it, and I didn't even realize she had gone up there until I walk into their room, and she's supposed to get for another 2 weeks.
You're like, happy birthday.
Basically, and then I texted my wife going, well, we don't have any presents to wrap anymore.
We are done with presents. She's got it. Don't bother wrapping it. It's not a surprise anymore. Oh. So, fellas, these lives that you go to, or these moments, is there any way that you could incorporate those into your, like, into your real life? Like, how would that work? You know,
my escape is just doing photography or sitting at the computer doing edit stuff. So I totally implement it in my life and need those distractions at times. Right. But I wouldn't change anything about my life at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine is just because a lot of the stuff that I did up in Lake Arrowhead was camping. We kind of, usually when I go camping, I'm very, cell phones get turned off, no music, no nothing. I will actually, we have these little camping chairs that are perfect kid size, and I'll sit there on the dock at the camping area we go to right off the lake, and I'll just literally sit there with the fishing pole. And of course, my 7-year-old or 6-year-old, she's not quite 7 yet. She's kind of hooked on the whole technologies. So she's like, well, can I bring my leap pad? It's like, no. No leap pad. No nothing. Just sit here, relax, go fishing, and just take in nature.
So you have room for your children in your alternate life or in your escape. It's not just a place for you then?
Right. Yeah.
What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as they're a little older, I mean, even now, we could probably travel somewhere to experience this outdoor waterfall-y type thing, but not in Florida. I'd have to travel, 8 hours by car to get somewhere anywhere remotely
that's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, let's digress for a second. Why Florida, man?
My wife grew up in St. Petersburg, and she, you know, when we were dating And she's like, oh, I want to go back to Florida. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Yeah, you know.
Well, at least you can get, like, discounts on, like, Disney cruises and things like that because you're a Florida resident.
Well, they can take that. And, you know, if I can move and live somewhere else, I don't care. I don't
care. Right.
But
the hypothetical Disney cruise
really likes
does not...
her here, and she wants to be here. So we're at least around her family. That sometimes can help a little bit. But I really miss the North, the elevation and all that stuff.
Yeah, I should have been born in the North too. I like trees and I like mountains and I like not boiling at the end of February, beginning of March. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
wait, where are you again?
I'm just outside of Dallas.
Oh, okay,
Texas, not Georgia.
I lived in.
I'm like, that's Southern California. You can even do, but in Texas,
no,
you have a tumbleweed.
Well, I lived in San Antonio for almost 2 years before we came to Florida. Before that, I was in Pennsylvania all my life. But in San Antonio, at least, where I worked at the university in Texas was up in it was like 2.5 hours north of San Antonio. But you could at least climb some fucking mountains and stuff there, man. Right. There was national parks around you could go to, so. So yeah, that
San Antonio
was better.
Beautiful. San Antonio is beautiful. Some of the, my uncle lives down there, and one of these days I'm going to take a ride through the hill country the long way and then go hang out with him.
Yeah, that's where I worked.
He's an old hippie, Vietnam era hippie. So it would be very, very, very nice to go visit Uncle Steve, because of things hippies do. But I'm not going to say any more because we have a narc amidst us.
So. What?
Right, the natural narc. You know, my escapes kind of depend on the moment, and a lot of them go back to what I wanted to do, especially archaeology. So I'm not sure that my real life and my alternate life, or you know, what could have been life, could be integrated. I'm not sure that how well they would mesh. You know, with the archaeology, I was doing shipwreck archaeology. So when I escape into my head like that and do think about it, would that be what I'm doing? You know, sometimes I'm diving on shipwrecks or other divers. You know, other times I'm just still in college, you know, or grad school, or even sometimes I'm living abroad, but I'm not married to my first wife when I was living, you know, when living abroad. I met her in Sicily, so that's why I tried to separate those two things in my head, because, you know, living in Sicily was nice, and then I met her, and now it's kind of got a stench about it. But yeah, I'm not really sure. You know, living abroad, there'd be room for my family, but definitely I don't think that the grad school, still being in grad school or being like an intrepid archaeologist would bode too well for having a stable marriage and being there for my son. So I'd rather have a stable marriage and be there for my son than, you know, go discover the next Titanic or whatever.
Yeah.
So. Well, here's the big question. And we're going to cut it short unless we just want to bullshit and bullshit afterwards. If you guys had followed your original plan and everything went to the letter, would you be happy?
No.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, as far as being an actor, I think you're busy a lot, you know, pretty much a lot of the time, or even, you know, being a doctor, you're busy all the time. I would never be able to spend a lot of time with my family or, you know, children. I would always want a family. I'd always want to be there for them and things like that. So I don't think I would pursue those other things if I knew I was going to lose a lot of the time with my kids and things like that.
I said no, but I think honestly I would be happy, but I think I would be living a miserable life, and I would have different goals and different striving for different things that aren't as important. So I may be happy because maybe I had money or whatever, but I don't think that deep down and being honest with myself when it just comes down to it, I don't give a shit about you guys. If I would be happy or not, I don't think I would. Does that make sense?
You wouldn't be fulfilled or
yes, like that. That's exactly right. So I you know, it could have happened that way and I'm sure I would have been happy, but I don't think I would have had what I have now. And mm-hmm. that's yeah. to me is priceless.
So the Trevor, the younger Trevor, if he were meeting you,
he would not even know me. He wouldn't listen to me. He was like, stop your fucking
who are you?
He'd be like, and just leave me alone. I don't care.
Yeah, fuck you, Baldy. Yeah.
Right. What happened to your head? That's right.
Yeah. And the younger Dan would be the same way. He'd be like, what have you become, you fat bastard?
Yeah. I think the same thing for yeah. my younger self.
Yeah.
Mine would probably laugh at me and go, yeah, you're stay at home. You're lazy. Because
you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm with Trevor. I would be happy if my life had gone that way, if I were able to follow and execute my plan the way I had envisioned my life going. I mean, how would you not be happy having met the goal that you'd set for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
But my life would be exactly. very, very, very different. And I can't say that I would be happier than I am now. But yeah, I'd be happy. I mean, who wouldn't be happy? I mean, I would.
Well, we would hope we would be happy, right? I think there might be a lot of people in this world that go through their life right now that are not happy, and they feel like they're trying to be happy because that's the way they think they're supposed to be doing it, and which mm-hmm. doesn't make them happy because they're not really doing what they want to do. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
I think there's a lot of lost people out there that just don't understand if you just slow down and do what you like to do, what you enjoy to do, it can make you happy. And you yeah. don't have to, like, you know, try to be happy or try to keep up with the Joneses to be happy. If that's technology, if that's the newest phone or the newest gadget or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Feel your life philosophical here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's each person has their own path and they have to walk it at their own pace. And
true.
Sometimes you know where the path is going to go and you don't stray from it. Other times you come to a fork in the path and you go down that way because it looks a lot more interesting.
Well, I think sometimes though, they don't even realize that there's a fork there.
Mm-hmm.
So if they just
right.
keep on walking, it's they're not really making the decisions.
Right. They're being led down a path possibly.
Yes. Yeah. Or yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? You're drinking. So
that's right.
You are drinking. Me, I have a date with Muscle Relaxer and a bowl of Uncle Steve's Herbal.
I just can't believe you're doing the show with that. I would be like, I'm asleep.
No. That's coming up after the show. Go nurse this rib. For those of you who were not with us in the pre-show, I fell while assembling a bookcase on Monday and smashed my ribs across the end of a board and then my hip on the windowsill. So I'm actually in a considerable amount of pain because the things I would do to not be in pain weren't conducive to hosting a podcast. So
here's
you're doing a great job for being.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Why? Thank you very much.
So here's a little spin-off question, Tandil. If your kids, wanted to do what you dreamed of, if my daughter, she's more into the whole sciences, things like that, but Trevor, if your boys wanted to become actors, would there be any like jealousy or anything like that for it because no. that's what you wanted to do?
No, absolutely not. And I'm actually falling into this now. So my oldest is 6, right? And he watches me do these podcasts. He wants to come do a podcast with me. And then, you know, if I'm doing like, I did a video review or some video work, right? Doing some reviews or some campaign with something. And my kids watch this, right? So they want to be part of that now. So they are expressing an interest because they're watching me and what I'm doing with this stuff. And so I have it set up, and they've been doing reviews, and I've been kind of helping them to be able to sit up straight, right, and speak and do it correctly. If this is what they want to do, I'll totally support them. They can totally do it. And we have some angles that if this is what they would like to do, they can do it. And I'll fully support that. I do think that they're following, you know, what I'm doing, because I think all kids kind of look at their parents and, hey, that's what he's doing. That's what I want to do, right? And
absolutely.
I would fully back them, but I would also make sure that it's not something that would be overly consuming, right? I would make sure that they would have balance and they understand that that would be come last before you know, last to everything.
Yeah.
You know, right. If my son were to decide that the dream I had when I was younger was the dream that he has and wants to be, then I would do everything I can to encourage that. I don't think there'd be any jealousy on it. There'd definitely be a lot of living vicariously.
I think absolutely there would be vicariously. I mean, sorry, I'm drunk now. I'm going to start interrupting. But
no, that's fine. That's fine. We got 20 minutes.
Slurring some speech.
It's totally. But there's a bonding there, because if they're expressing an interest in something you express an interest in, or you do, then you're going to be really excited. I think the difficult part sometimes is being a father and having them express something that they like, and then us trying to be as receptive as they would be for our interests.
Right.
Yeah.
So I
go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, I think if one of my children wanted to be something in the medical field, I think we would have talks about what that really means, because it's one of those things that you spend a lot of time going to school for. And if it's not something,
what in the medical field, like I'm in the medical field, but mine's 2 years, whereas a doctor,
right. Doctor. Yeah. So, you know, you're spending all this time to be a doctor, and then you have your residency, and then you have a fellowship, and then you get a job that you just don't like, you know what I mean? And so some of those things, I think you want to encourage them, but you also want to be realistic on what that means.
I actually encourage my boys. I'm starting to plant some seeds. If they wanted to be an electrician, go to a trade school, go do that. And you know what? Be a great, you know what? You can go anywhere in the world and have a job. You want to be a plumber? They get paid mad money. Why do they get paid good money? Because nobody wants to do it. So if you're
that's right.
Some of this shit, go do all the jobs that nobody wants to do. Make a ton of money. You know, start your own company, hiring people to do it too, and then you're running your own business, doing stuff that people don't even want to do, and you make mad money. I know.
And then eventually, you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
You can have other people do it for you, for your company.
Right, and then you can go back and do what you originally wanted to do. Right, someday. Yeah, definitely if Liam decided he wanted to be an archaeologist, you know, I would teach him the basics, you know, everything that I learned in my undergrad for that, you know, theory, all that sort of thing, kind of let him really know what it actually entails versus the Indiana Jones Laura Croft. Yeah, I would set a realistic expectation for him and use that as an opportunity to connect and bond with him. Yeah. So anyways, now we got deep. talking about bonding with the kids that, you know, 30 minutes ago we were talking about how we escape from them and where we go in our heads, and now we're all like,
hey, lock up time with my kid.
I love my son.
Well, there's some days where you want to escape. There's others where they are your escape. Like, especially with me with my PTSD, there are some days that they are my escape. I actually have had thoughts where, not so much where I changed things, but back when I was in the abusive relationship, it was, should I live? And that's kind of whenever I usually have these flashbacks like I had today, they are my escape, for lack of better words, to say I made the right decision, even though I was and everything else by police and called weak and everything else. They're here. I'm here. So I think sometimes they are the escape, but at the same time, they're the reason you need to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of a catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would say one of the greatest things, you know, with you say your children as they grow up is you're watching them, you know, look at their hands and like, what the hell is this thing? And, you know, and they're trying to figure out what to do with it and stuff. And that, I think that's wonderful to see stuff like that.
Oh yeah. Cause I always, even just before my oldest was born, I always had it cause I would babysit and that's about as close as I would get to kids. Whereas now I have a daughter who, wants to do science, but at the same time wants to do hockey, which my wife absolutely hates. But of course, me, I worked for the University of Minnesota and would get free tickets to the hockey games whenever I'd work it. So it's like, sure, by all means.
How could anyone hate hockey? I don't understand.
My wife hates the cost of it. But yeah, wants my daughter to go. She says that hockey is more expensive than horseback riding.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. You're talking about them doing it. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very expensive.
Which, yeah, my wife's like, well, it's cheaper to do horseback riding. I'm like, no, it's not. We may live in a town where we actually have a stable right across the street from us. Okay, so we're not in town, but close enough. But even then, it's like for just the equipment alone, I can buy like 3 sets of gear for hockey.
Okay, yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're starting to kind of wind down, guys.
Yeah, and I think somebody might be slightly toasted. Luckily, this is actually a at-home podcast, and we're not, like, in a studio or something, or else Trevor would probably need a designated driver right now.
No, I'm good. No, I'm not that drunk.
It's all good, man. It's all good. It's all good, man.
Say until they start walking, then they fight the concrete ground, or they fight stairs, or would that just be my wife?
Yeah. So you're calling your wife a lush, a drunk?
No, my wife is a very... She get about 3 of those My Card lemonades, and she's done. She will actually admit that that's as much as she can take before she is far too drunk to drive, which is quite interesting because I'm the complete opposite, and part of it was because I was the typical high schooler where we had Southern Comfort and things like that hidden in certain spots, where 3 mics and I'm still fine.
Okay, well, you can outdrink your woman. I guess that's something to be proud of. All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap it up because I really need to go take something from my side. So that does it for tonight's show. I'd like to thank my guests for joining me, Mr. Trevor Mulligan. Thank you. Trevor, hello.
Hey, told yourself.
Trevor.
I'm here.
All right, Nick Fagel.
Thank you, guys.
And last and most certainly least, Christopher Burkhart.
See ya.
All right, guys. That's all. Follow our Twitter at SADPOD, SAHDPOD. Like our Facebook page. And subscribe to us via iTunes. And don't forget to give us a gushing review. That's David McPhee's words right there. I'm not sure I would say gushing. All right. Special thanks to Mike and me for the use of their excellent Super Daddy Fun Day. And make sure all of you out there have a Super Daddy Fun Day. Typical day, me and my daddy gonna go out and play. I hope my baby sister